When I was a boy, back in the old days of the church, it was really impressed upon me. I used to think it was probably my mother that did this, but maybe it was. Maybe it was the sisters in the Catholic school. Maybe it was both. I don't know. But it was deeply impressed upon me. When you are in church, never turn around. I mean, I didn't know what would happen if I did, but I mean, it certainly left an impression on me, so much so that, and this is really true, I think it wasn't until I was in my 20s that it was so deeply ingrained on me that I actually dared to turn around in church and look behind me. I didn't see any thunderbolts come down or anything like that, but don't turn around in church. So let's see, Richard Coppola, turn around right now and look behind you. And tell us what you see. What do you see? Well, give me more details than that. Who do you see back there? I mean, describe them for me, or what do you... Pick one out and describe the person for me. Oh, okay. Patrick Short and what? Oh, yeah, okay, great. Did you know Patrick was sitting there behind you? No, okay. See, if you hadn't turned around right now, you would never have known that, would you? There you go. And nothing happened to Richard because he turned around in church. You notice that? Okay. So now I want you all to shut your eyes and let me take you on a journey. Use your imagination and just imagine that you are out in the Judean wilderness. That is the desert wilderness of Judea. It is a very harsh and forbidding landscape. Lots of jagged mountains, nothing but desert. No trees, no nothing, but you can only see a thin stream going through the landscape, going through the desert. So just imagine yourself in this difficult, harsh environment. And how silent it is. And then you hear a voice. Repent, for the kingdom of God is close at hand. So open your eyes. Now, why did John lure people out to the Judean wilderness, which was very, very, as I said, very harsh environment, to this little stream of water that was called the Jordan River? The Jordan River is not the Mississippi. Okay, all throughout Israel, it's it's not, you can wade across it, okay? So he's luring people out to this harsh environment. Why was he doing that? He wanted them to leave behind them the busyness of their ordinary lives, to leave behind them the deceits of their own egos, to be in a place where there was nothing really to see at all, so they could hear what he had to say to them. And what he said was, repent, for the kingdom of God is close at hand. And you know, repent simply means turn. Turn around. Turn around, he says, the kingdom of God is close at hand. He says, turn, look here. The kingdom of God is close at hand. Because something that is right in front of us, we often fail to see because we persist in looking elsewhere. And that is John's message to us in this Advent season. Turn and look here. The kingdom of God is close at hand. Now, this Advent season, unfortunately, the Advent season is so bound up in our consciousness with Christmas. In other words, we think only about Advent as preparation for Christmas, which it is. But it's more than that. We're only focusing on a third of it when we think of it that way. It's not just preparing for the birthday of Jesus and to honor that and to celebrate it, but most of Advent season, according to the church's liturgy in its readings and prayers and theology, most of the Advent season is about preparing ourselves not to celebrate Christmas, but preparing ourselves for when Jesus Christ comes again at the end of history. Getting ready for the second coming of Christ. And we don't talk much about that. I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but that's something we ought to look at with Advent sometime in the future. And then there's another sense of Advent, too, besides those two. And that is what John is calling out to us today about. How Jesus comes to us now. Not in a second coming and not 2,000 years ago, but how is he coming to us now? And John says, turn and look here. The kingdom of God is within your reach. The kingdom of God is close at hand. Yes, something that is right in front of us that we fail to see because we persist in looking elsewhere. And that's really true in our culture at this time, isn't it? Instead of really focusing on what is in front of us, our attention is focused on buying all the Christmas presents, doing the Christmas decorations, getting the tree and everything, going to Christmas parties, da-da-da, and the list goes on and on. So we're not focused at all on what is right in front of us. Now, at this time of year, there's lots of holiday movies that you can find on television. Now, I wonder if any of you, raise your hand if you have ever read the book or seen the movie of this very obscure story called A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. How many people have seen that movie or read that book? Okay? Yeah, almost everybody. Okay, how about there's an old movie classic with Cary Grant and Loretta Young and David Niven called The Bishop's Wife. Raise your hand if you've seen that. Fewer people have seen that, as I expected. Okay. How about this one? It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. How many people have seen that one? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's shown like 95 times in the month of December. Yeah. Now, here's a more recent one, a movie made in the year 2000 with Nicolas Cage called A Family Man. How many people have seen that? Raise your hand. Oh, wow, more people than at the other masses. Okay. Now, all of those, quote, holiday movies, all of them, each one of the four, has the same message. It's wake up, walk away from your greed and your selfishness or your anxieties and troubles or your terrible worries and realize the treasure that is right in front of you. Isn't that right? All those movies, that's the message. But we have something far greater than that here. We have Jesus, the Son of God. And that's John's message, just like these movies, but it points to something far more important than some of the things in those movies. That is Jesus. Turn and look here. The kingdom of God, who is Jesus, is close at hand. Wake up. Yes, we have something far greater than all that here. It's Jesus. And I can't say that enough because I see it at Mass every week. You know, that when we're remembering during the Eucharistic prayer, the sublime Paschal mystery, when we're recalling that is Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension, when the priest is talking about all these beautiful things about our faith, and even more, when Jesus himself speaks to us in this moment through the voice of the priest and says, "This is my body. Take it and eat. It was given for you. This is the cup of my blood shed for you. Take it and drink." And sometimes I look out there during all this and I see this. Something right in front of us that we fail to see because we persist in looking elsewhere. And even aside from Mass, what about the things in our ordinary life? What about the loving relationships in our life that we take for granted? What about beautiful music that we hear? What about beautiful things that we see with our eyes in our lovely land of Virginia? What about the poor and the needy in our midst that we had the privilege of hosting during Pachem? What about, yes, even the troubles and worries and anxieties and hard times in our own life? Do we fail to see who is with us in all of that? Who is present in all of that because we are persisting in looking elsewhere? Yes, turn and look here. The kingdom of God is close at hand. And John says about this Jesus that he will baptize us with the Spirit and with fire. That means that if we turn around and look here and find Jesus in the midst of our life, then our life will ignite inside. And we will experience the fire of the living God in our hearts. And we will share intimately in Jesus' own Spirit with him. But only if we repent, that is, turn and look here, the kingdom of God is close at hand. So how would you guys like me to read you a little story now? Oh, good. Okay. Thanks, Max. We have story time with Father Gregory, okay? Got my little storybook here. So story time with Father Gregory, so I'm going to sit down here. Okay. This tale that I'm going to read, it comes from this little book, Tales of a Magic Monastery. Now, this is a very whimsical and fanciful book. So prepare to enter into another realm. Very short little tale, but this story time with Father Gregory now, so I'm going to read the story. I had heard that there was a monk there who had been to Tabor, present at the Transfiguration. Imagine, I found him. You couldn't miss him. That face would stand out anywhere. Father, I said, what was it like? Well, we went up the mountain and Jesus began to pray. Other people only partly pray. He prayed totally. My companions were taken by the light, but it was the sound that got to me. It was music, but you never heard music like that. It just took over my whole body and soul. Then when the cloud came, he passed into it, and I did too. That's all I can say. I've been pretty useless ever since. I just live here with him, in that music, in that cloud. Father, I whispered, call me in. Do you want to come in now, he asked, or next Monday? Oh, Father, call me in now. I've waited long enough. He took my head to his heart, and I heard that music. The cloud settled around us. So what about us? Will we turn and look here and now? Or will it be next Monday, or the Monday after that, or maybe never?